I'd like to briefly introduce Sister Hovey to you now. Deanna Hovey was born in Pocatello, Idaho, and raised in Redding, California. She attended Ricks College, BYU, and Idaho State University. She and her husband, Stephen, have four children and four grandchildren. Her favorite church calling has been the primary music leader. As her students would attest, Sister Hovey is a lovely person, and I'm excited for you to hear her thoughts today.
My heart is always touched by the spirit the musical numbers and the hymns bring to devotionals. This has been beautiful and more special still since one of my students was singing. I'm humbled to be able to share with you today. I remember attending devotional in September of my first year at Ricks College in the Hart Building when President Henry B. Eyring spoke about how rapidly moving water remains pure and that we will not stagnate if we're ever moving, repenting, learning, growing, and staying at the center of that fast-moving stream, the center of the kingdom of God. At least that's the message I heard in his words, the message that I wrote home about. That man actually cares about me. He cared about me. Imagine that. He had stood in the registration area and shook all 5,000 of the students' hands, Henry B. Eyring. I'm blessed to be here now with another President Eyring who cares deeply about you college students.
Your being here tonight, taking time and expressing this interest and a desire to learn, indicates that you appreciate those resources and that you do have an intent to make the most of them. Second point that I'd share with you is that it does require more than just the average amount of effort. Yes, you do want to do well in your classes, and you would never want to sacrifice your grades for the sake of other forms of career preparation, but it doesn't have to be that way. You can reach out, begin to establish mentors not only among the faculty, but among our alumni.
See how much he cares about you? The idea for the message I will share today began germinating as I listened to an inspiring talk given by Elder Lynn G. Robbins in the Saturday morning conference session. And this is what he taught.
Success, it has been said, isn't the absence of failure, but going from failure to failure without any loss of enthusiasm. With the invention of the light bulb, Thomas Edison said, "I didn't fail 1,000 times. The light bulb was an invention with 1,000 steps." C.S. Lewis called failures finger posts on the road to achievement. Hopefully, each mistake we make becomes a lesson in wisdom, turning stumbling blocks into stepping stones. Nephi's unwavering faith helped him go from failure to failure until he finally found or obtained the brass plates. It took Moses 10 attempts before he finally found success in fleeing Egypt with the Israelites. We may wonder, if both Nephi and Moses were on the Lord's errand, why didn't the Lord intervene and help them achieve success on their first try? Why did he allow them, and why does he allow us, to flounder and fail in our attempts to succeed? Among many important answers to that question, here are a few. First, the Lord knows that these things shall give us experience and shall be for our good. Second, to allow us to taste the bitter that we may know to prize the good. Third, to prove that the battle is the Lord's, and it is only by his grace that we can accomplish his work and become like him. Fourth, to help us develop and hone scores of Christ-like attributes that cannot be refined except through opposition and in the furnace of affliction. So amid a life full of stumbling blocks and imperfection, we all are grateful for second chances.
On the heels of this talk, a young woman in my class gave a devotional thought the following Monday that broadened my perspective and taught me further. Courtney Bear shared, The difference between a stepping stone and a stumbling block is how high you lift your foot. Her spiritual thought, coupled with her example of how she dealt with health challenges during the semester, humbled me and made me stop and think about being more grateful for difficulties. Yes, I said grateful. Grateful for difficulties, for failures or challenges, and to work harder to be worthy of the lessons I was being taught. Here are four lessons that I've been contemplating since hearing Courtney's thought about lifting my foot higher to turn mistakes and difficulties into stepping stones. Number one, we must put in some extra effort to step higher. Number two, we must be humble enough to allow others to help us. Number three, we should look for opportunities to help others step higher. And number four, Christ will lift and guide us, often through the deeds of others, and make it possible for us to reach from that stumbling block up to the stepping stone. The posts on the discussion board truly made me think about how you students are ministering to one another. I would like to invite two different students to the stand. First, I'd like to have Ryan, and I knew I was going to make a mess of his name. He'll say it for you. Come to the stand. I'm sorry.
Okay. It's Kwiatkowski.
Isn't that a grand name? I would like to have him tell just a little bit about his post, about how he learned from both his father and his grandmother.
So my father was inspired to write a book on behalf of a woman in his life that really inspired him. It was his mom, my grandmother. And he was inspired to write it because of something that she always told him throughout his life, which was, you can turn any negative into positive. I didn't, unfortunately, know my grandmother that well, as the flight from Colorado to New York, where she lived, was about 4 hours, so we couldn't always make it out there. But I learned from my dad, I was able to learn that she went through a lot of trials in her life, yet she always kept a smile on her face, and she always was able to turn those negative experiences, from what my dad told me and from what it says in his book, into positives. From her example, she taught me to just live and to love and to accept, and that the obstacles that we face in our lives, those stumbling blocks, those are not necessarily things to keep us back, but are lessons that we can jump over with faith.
So. Thank you, Ryan.
You're welcome.
Kwiatkowski, I can say it now. Now, I would also like to invite Brittany Slager to tell us about an experience that she had on her mission during a difficult time.
So I served a mission, and when I had been out for about a year, I started to struggle a lot with my anxiety and different things. And through it and through prayer, God was able to send me so many different people to help me through these different trials. I was given a great mission president that made it his goal to help us. I was given a companion that helped me through everything with her patience and kindness. There were different missionaries within the zone. There was an elder that would send quotes every week that would really help me through my trials. And through all of this experience, though it was hard, it taught me that God really does use us to minister to each other. And I'm grateful for that experience.
Thank you, Brittany and Ryan. I'd like to share some examples of the lessons that I've learned from some of my heroes. Well, I've shared some from students like you with Brittany and Ryan. I'd like to tell you about George Washington, my father, Sid Withers, and my savior. Well, first lesson is, we must put in some extra effort to step higher. One of my all-time favorite heroes is George Washington, the first president, the father of the United States of America. His effort and excellence has inspired me since I learned about him from my kindergarten teacher. In a BYU devotional, Elder Rick Stepeniger taught how Washington was educated and chose to lift his foot higher even as a boy. Brother Peniger shared that George was tutored by his father, August, in many areas. He gave his son responsibilities of significance early in his youth because there was not much time for frivolous behavior on a Virginia farm in those days. His mother would follow up to see that assignments in penmanship, arithmetic, and so forth were carefully recorded by George in his notebooks. They had to be done just right. His father would expect excellence from his son. We too have a father who expects the very best from us. In one section of his notebook, George meticulously copied rules of conduct. The Bible provided the foundation for general living, but these rules provided practical guidelines for behavior in everyday life experiences. This part of his education must have been based on sound principles, for George Washington was known throughout his life for the strength of his personal demeanor. Through all his education, Washington benefited from one of his rules: accept correction with thankfulness. George's father taught him with love, patience, and personal leadership, but with strict expectation of obedience. Elder Peniger explained, "Assignments given were expected not only to be completed, but to be done perfectly. Well, anyone can do things halfway, or almost anyone can bring in an assignment partly finished, partly fulfilled, partly followed through. But the mark of greatness, as shown by Washington, was to expect from oneself perfection in performance." His father told George that when one receives correction regarding assignments, it is not merely enough to obey, but it must be done with cheerfulness. Under those conditions, the attitude becomes more important than mere obedience. Lift your foot higher to move from stumbling block to stepping stone. Expect excellence and keep working toward it, even if that excellence is not reached immediately. Lesson two, we must be humble enough to allow others to help us step higher. My father, my hero, taught me this lesson. When something is difficult, even terrifying, you meet it head on and practice it over and over until it is no longer terrifying or difficult. I was terrified of driving over railroad tracks. I would purposely take a longer route to get places where there was a bridge over the railroad tracks rather than taking the short route. I did not want help to get over this fear because there were bridges. Why did I need to improve? On top of this was my lack of confidence with standard transmission. It happened that when it was time to take my driver's test, the family vehicle with automatic transmission was out of commission, and all that was left was our old red rust-spotted standard transmission ugly Volkswagen bug. I was bemoaning the fact to my young women's leader, who offered to allow me to drive her Karmann Ghia for my driver's test. It was a little sporty car with the desired automatic transmission. Hesitantly, my father let me use the borrowed car. He also decided I needed more experience, not only in handling the little car, but with maneuvering railroad tracks. So he devised a training run. The first set of tracks was my undoing. Crossing lights started flashing as I slowly approached, and I stepped on the brake and stopped regrettably just past the line where I should have stopped. And the guard arm came down on the roof of the car. I wasn't on the railroad track. Well, I started bawling, of course. My father got up and he held the guard arm up and told me to back up. And I did so, bawling, and with a little too much adrenaline in my foot action, stopping as the Karmann Ghia's bumper hit the bumper of the car behind. Well, it didn't hit it. It just touched, really. I looked at the rearview mirror through tears, and seeing the man from the car behind me get out and approach, I put my head down on my arms on the steering wheel and howled. The voice of the man from the car behind me didn't scream, but comforted. "Don't cry, Deanna." Who would guess that in a town with few LDS people, I would have bumped into, literally, Keith Miller, who was in our state presidency in Redding, California, and a family friend. Like my dad, he was also a driver's education teacher at one of the high schools. So he'd probably dealt with a few meltdowns with new drivers. While the single train engine moved slowly past us, my dad inspected the Carmen Ghia's roof and President Miller's car bumper for damage. You know, I don't even know if there was damage. My father must have taken care of all of that. But Dad still expected me to drive home, even though he could have taken the wheel for me. He made me drive around and around over the railroad tracks. Humbled, the next day, I drove the old VW Bug with standard transmission for my driver's test, passing by the skin of my teeth, making it over the railroad tracks without incident during the driver's test. I felt like my dad was forcing me to lift my foot higher than I was capable by making me go around and around the railroad tracks. But I knew in my head it was for my good. I needed to be humbled and accept the help, advice, and required practice from my father. President Eyring explained in our last April devotional, there is no better way to develop natural leadership ability than by lifting a fellow student, especially someone who seems resistant to being lifted. We might feel like I was a little resistant at times when someone is offering to help us up from a stumbling block to a stepping stone. But when we humble ourselves and graciously accept it, we later realize how we've grown because of it. This could come in the form of a family member, a bishop, the counseling center, tutors, a roommate, or a classmate. Be humble enough to accept help. Lesson 3. We should look for opportunities to help others step higher. Some heroes live in my Idaho Falls stake, like Sid and Jeanette Withers. Brother Withers has spent many of his years offering service to the young women and young men, and part of it has been taking them on hikes for girls' camp and scout camp. I was several pounds lighter and my heart was 20 years younger when I went with the young women on the Table Rock hike led by men from our stake, among them Sid Withers. The scenery was incredible. There's going to be a picture soon, I think. The company was great, and I thought I had prepared well enough for the hike. It was a difficult one for me, and sometimes it seemed that I couldn't catch my breath, and I dropped further behind on the trail. Brother Withers noticed and tactfully checked to see if I was okay. Huffing and puffing, I was a bit embarrassed. But when he held out the end of his walking stick to me, I gratefully grasped it. I'm not sure how far he pulled me, but it was over the steepest area of the trail. Because Brother Withers listened to a prompting, I was able to reach a goal. Be humble enough to allow others to help us step higher. So what happens if you observe that someone close to you needs a little help lifting a foot higher? Last week, Brother Castro reminded us, in our spiritual progression, it's not uncommon to experience cyclical ups and downs. There are days when it's easier to be faithful, and there are days when it's hard. At one point or another, we all stumble upon temptations, transgressions, trials, and tribulations. The key when these challenges come is to keep focus, to stay the course, to not give up or give in, but as true disciples, having put the hand to the plow, we do not look back, down, or around, but we look to God and live. Persist in being tactful and loving when we offer our walking sticks to help others up over a stumbling block until it can become a stepping stone. Brother Nathan Meeker, who taught us about the purpose and blessing of failure at the beginning of the semester, cautioned, "Anger, disgust, and criticism are very poor motivators for lifelong and eternal change." We can inspire, we can uplift, we can say, "Just keep going, you'll get there." Although the road is long, there are stumbling blocks all along your path, you can do it. There will be blessings at some point along the way as you experience success in your failure. Be tactful and loving as you extend the walking stick or give your hand, and give them strength to step higher. Lesson 4, Christ will lift and guide us, often through the deeds of others, and make it possible for us to turn that stumbling block into a stepping stone. I've long been inspired by the Greg Olson painting entitled, Be Not Afraid. To me, it expresses how the Savior knows me and has the ability to provide the aid that I need. He often provides that help through our brothers and sisters. The Savior knew my need for strength to get up the mountain, and Brother Withers and his walking stick were literally in my path to help. When we have mountains in our lives or streams too deep to cross that present stumbling blocks, our Savior is there to help us along the way. His grace is sufficient to help us. We might worry that the need we have is too small or of no consequence, or why would the Lord be mindful of it? We might have difficult classes or textbooks that are challenging to comprehend as stumbling blocks. I was going to share audio of the devotional that I first heard, some of the devotional at Rooks College, but it was a little, you couldn't understand it, so I'm going to paraphrase for you. President Henry B. Eyring taught that we can receive the instruction that we need. He said, we might have difficult classes or textbooks that are challenging. So in his first devotional, he said something about his own story that inspired me. He said that he was reading a text on thermodynamics. He even recalled the color. It was blue and written by an Englishman, and it smelled funny. Now, I can't say it as funny or as humorously as he did, but he got serious. He joked about a little bit about having that hazy-eyed experience of reading something that was really tough to comprehend, but he stayed at it. He began to doubt, thinking, why would his need to understand thermodynamics matter to God? He knew God loved him, so he prayed for help. President Eyring said he remembered the building and the place where he was studying, that the Spirit confirmed that what he was learning was true, and he began to understand clearly. Well, as a freshman, hearing this story inspired me that I could take my challenges with classes to the Lord and receive a similar experience when I applied myself to study, as President Eyring had. You may also receive this help, inspiration, and guidance as you are finishing up this semester with projects and exams. You will be lifted and given strength to step just a little higher and finish well. Brothers and sisters, it is my testimony that the Lord is mindful of us. You can change a stumbling block into a stepping stone by lifting your foot higher. This is possible because there is help around us when we are humble and willing to accept it. In turn, we must be willing to look for others' needs, to minister, and to act as the Lord's hands to help our brothers and sisters to lift their feet just a little higher. The Lord will strengthen and sustain us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.